Heavenly Father, we quiet ourselves before you. We sit by your feet. We have a strong desire to know what you have to say to us. Whatever you say to us, I pray that you give us a willing heart, a new heart, and fill us with the new Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that we not only be able to hear and understand what you have to say to us, and help us to hide your word within our hearts so that we can meditate on it day and night. And eventually, we can learn from it and put it into practice. And we will be blessed in this way. Lord, I pray that you not only guide us tonight and lead us into all truth and shine upon our face and guide us to follow your very footstep, so that we not only heard of you, we have seen you and we experience your blessing too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Hebrew chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? You know, this Bible verse, I want you to write down. This is a Psalm. You look at the footnotes under A and B. Under B is a Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. And these Bible verses, 1, 5, and chapter 1, verse 5, together with the chapter 5, let me see, and verse 5. 1, 5, 5, 5. I want you to link it together. Right beside 1, 5, you write down 5, 5. Right beside 5, 5, you write 1, 5. You know what? This statement only happened 3 times in the entire Bible. The first time it appeared in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. Second time, Hebrew 1, 5. Third time, Hebrew... I made a mistake. These Bible verses only happened 3 times in the New Testament. 1 time in the Old Testament. The first time it appeared in the Old Testament is in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. And 3 times it happened in the New Testament. 2 times in Hebrew, 1:5 and 5:5. Another time appear in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13:33. Okay, I want you to write it down. Acts 13:33. Write that down, Bible verses first, and then I explain to you one by one. This Bible verses is very, very important. Okay? Who said that first? David said it. And who said it second? Paul, during his preaching. He talked about that in the book of Acts, chapter 13, 33. The third time and the fourth time is recorded by the author of Hebrews. So what does it mean? Psalm, let's go to the Psalm, chapter 2, verse 7. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, the Lord said to Jesus, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5, for to which of the angel did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? God the Lord God Almighty, God the Father, has never said to any angel, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God has never said to any angel that you are my son, today I have become your father. You understand? Has never said that. God has only said to his beloved son, Jesus Christ. Now you have that doubt, you have that question mark in here. When did he say that? Could you give me a try? Try from Etta first. When did he say that you are my son, today I become your father? Do you know when did he say that? Under what circumstance did God the Father say to his son, you are my son, today I have become your father? Anybody know? Sally, do you know?
Jesus' resurrection.
At Jesus' resurrection?
Yeah.
Who tell you that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Not, you know, like, if you go back to Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized and the heaven opened, right? Chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and light thing on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. He said, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. He didn't say, you are my son, today I have become your father. He just say, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. You understand? Not during his baptism. Not during his baptism. Nor during his transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17. You remember that? You remember the incident that verse 17:5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased, listen to him. In the instance of baptism, God said, this is my son. In the instance of at the Mount of Transfiguration, God said to Jesus, this is my son. He didn't say, you are my son, today I have become your father, right? He didn't say that. So Psalm chapter 2 verse 7 is not pointing the acts, they're pointing the moment when Jesus was baptized, nor pointing the moment when Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, but at one moment during Jesus' resurrection from the dead. How do I know? Because in Acts chapter 13 verse 33, Acts chapter 13 verse 33. Can you imagine, you know, if God did not call Paul to be his servant, set him apart for the gospel, for preaching the gospel, we're going to miss out so much thing. We don't know Psalm chapter 2 verse 7 at what incident that God say, you are my son, today I have become your father. It only in Hebrew tell us that what? For to which of the angel did God ever say, you are my son?
In Hebrew chapter 1 verse 5, it means God has never said to any angel that you are my son, today I have become your father. God only say it to his son. But in Hebrew 1:5 did not take at what moment? Is it at baptism? At a mountain? Baptism is at the valley, right? In the Jordan River, at the lowest area. Mountain is the what? It's the higher place. Not in the lower place, not in the high place, but in what? At his resurrection. How do I know as a resurrection? If I don't read the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 33, I don't even know that. It's Paul helping me to understand that. Now I explain that to you, I help you to understand that. Okay? Now, so, you know what? Every time when you read the Bible, if something you don't understand, at what time did this passage pointing to? If you don't understand from the text, you will be able to understand from another text. Like, by just looking at Psalm 2:7, I don't know what moment. Maybe at the baptism, maybe on the transfiguration. Okay? Because in both incidents, God say, this is my son. He didn't say, you are my son. This is my son. Very, very close, right? And today I become your father. Today I have become your father. That pointing, that today, what that today's mean. You understand? That today is at the day of his resurrection. As I said before, if the text by itself did not tell you, another text will be able to tell you. What I'm trying to say to you is, you don't need anyone to explain the Bible to you. You have the Holy Spirit helping you. You remember 1 John chapter 2 verse 27? The anointing, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth. Okay? If you memorize a lot of Bible verses, the Bible verses will help you to explain the scripture. You understand? So, well, when you read Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, you do not know. You just put it in your heart. You say, wow, I'm going to read the other portion of scripture. You read Acts chapter 13, 33. Then you know at what time. So that's why I'm saying to you, you don't need any tutor. You learn from me. That's how I learn it. I don't need any pastor to teach me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is my pastor. As long as you study the scripture, he will say, hey, remember you look for it in Psalm 2:7, you don't understand? Now I tell you, in Acts 13:33. Okay? You know why Paul talking about that? Because a lot of Jewish people, they don't understand. So that's why in Acts, chapter 13 verse 33, when Paul explained in his preaching, he talked about at the time, at the day of his resurrection. That day is today. Okay? Now, go back to 13:33, book of Acts. But just to be fair, in order to fully understand, it's better to read 32 first. We tell you the good news. We tell you the good news. What's the good news? What God promised our father. Verse 33. God, our Father, Heavenly Father, has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. Raising up Jesus, that means Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Okay? God the Father has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus Christ, as it is written in the second Psalm. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. You are my son, today I have become your father. You understand? Do you agree with how I interpret it? Verse 34. The fact that God raised him from the dead. Okay, because Paul knows that some people, they still do not believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. He say the fact that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead never decay is stated in this word, stated in another Bible. You take a look at the footnotes. stay in Isaiah 55 verse 3. You understand? So, whenever Paul explained the scripture to you, talk about Jesus' resurrection, at that time a lot of people, because of the rumor, what's the rumor? Come on in. Because of the rumor, what's the rumor? Because they heard about, say, oh, Jesus Christ was stolen from the tomb. You remember in Matthew chapter 28? 27, I think. Matthew chapter 27, okay. Etta, could you read that? Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66. Because there's a rumor spreading around, okay, and saying what? Saying that Jesus wasn't resurrected, okay? Because in order for Paul to destroy that rumor is a rumor, it's not a fact. So that's why he say the fact that Jesus raised from the dead, verse 34, the fact that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, never decay, is stated in this word. Because Paul saying that, hey, I'm not just telling you Jesus' resurrection is a make-up story that I make it up. No, he didn't make it up. The rumor spreading around in Matthew chapter 28 is a rumor, it's not a fact. Could you read that? Matthew chapter 20, I'm not 28, I keep saying 28. 27, 62 to 66. Matthew 27. Good. Here, 27. 66, 62 to 66.
The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples will come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate said. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
So in other words, what did they say? They say, verse 64, so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until what? Until the third day. Otherwise his disciple may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first one. So I want you to write it down. Matthew chapter 27, 62 to 66, right beside Paul preaching, right beside the fact. Acts chapter 13, 34, right beside the fact that God raised him from the dead, right beside the fact. You write down Matthew 27, 62 to 66. And then I want you to write it down. Matthew chapter 11. Now, first of all, I want, right beside Acts chapter 13, verse 24. The fact that. Okay, right beside that, right beside the fact. What is the fact? The fact is, before Jesus Christ was resurrected, they heard about what Jesus has said, that Jesus Christ will be resurrected. But they don't believe that Jesus was resurrected. So, the reason why I want you to read that, Pilate sending his soldier to guard the tomb, to make sure that Jesus' disciple never have the opportunity or dare to steal the body and then make a false proclamation saying that, oh, Jesus Christ was resurrected. To stop that. Because first of all, he put a seal on it, and secondly, it's guarded by the soldier. No one will dare to do that. The reason why he talked to the pilot and asking the governor to do that is because they don't believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. That's the fact. To them, they don't believe in it. But at that time, Jesus wasn't resurrected yet. He just passed away, right? He said, guard it until the third day, because they heard about that. On the third day, he will be resurrected. But he heard about that, he don't believe in it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, go and read 28. You write that, 28:11, all the way, 11 all the way to 15. Chapter 28:11 to 15 is after Jesus was resurrected, and what will happen. 27 is before he was resurrected. He just passed away. He was placed in a tomb. You understand? Inside the tomb, Jesus was inside the tomb, lying in the tomb, dead. On Matthew chapter 27. But in 28, Jesus Christ was resurrected. It's gone already. The tomb is empty. Okay? And yet, they spread the rumor. Okay? Read that at her. Verse 11, all the way to 16. I'm sorry, all the way to 15.
11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were sleeping.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble."
How do they satisfy? We're going to bribe him. We're paying money. You know that the Jewish people are good at doing that and keep you out of trouble. Verse 15.
So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Okay. Samuel, I want you to read that because you are late. But I want you to understand that. I want you to write it down. I want you to write down, first of all, I want you to read Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66 first. Matthew 27.
62 to 66.
Matthew chapter 27. 62 here. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 here. 62. Okay. 62 to 66. Could you read that to me? Start from 62. 62 here. Read that to me. Out loud, because I'm recording
it. Next day is the one after preparation. Preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to
Pilate's
Sir, they said, "We remember that while he was still alive,
the deceiver said,
after 3 days I will rise again, so give..."
Because, you know what? He's saying that Jesus Christ is his deceiver. Jesus Christ is not a deceiver. Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth. How can I deceive you?" You know, the Pharisee saying to the Pilate, saying that Jesus is the deceiver. No, Jesus has never deceived us, nor has he ever deceived anyone. Okay, but he's saying that Jesus is the deceiver. You know what did he say? He says, "Sir," they said, "we remember that while Jesus was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again." They remember what Jesus said, but they don't believe in what Jesus said. Okay? And then what did he say? Verse 64.
"So give the order from the tomb to vain, sir."
To make secure.
Secure until the third day.
Okay.
Otherwise, the disciple may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been not...
He has been raised from the dead.
From the dead, this last
deception
will be worse than the first.
Okay. Then verse 65, what happened to the pilot, say?
Take a guard, Pilate, and...
Answer.
Answer, go make the tomb as secure as you know how.
Verse 66.
So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
So in other words, assuming Jesus Christ the deceiver, in order for his disciple to steal the body, assuming Jesus Christ hasn't been resurrected, assuming Jesus Christ has no power to be resurrected, assuming, I say, okay? Assuming his disciple has the courage to steal the body. So, what do they have to do? First of all, he has to get rid of the soldier. Secondly, he has to break the seal. You know who is, who? You know what? Did you really think that the disciple has the courage to do that? Get rid of the soldier? At the same time, break the seal. When you break the seal, that means you do something against the law of Roman. He's going to kill you. You understand? They don't have the courage to do that. Unfortunately, they think Jesus Christ is the deceiver. Unfortunately, they remember what Jesus has said, that I will, on the third day after 3 days, I will rise again. He remember what he heard, but he don't believe it. They do not believe what they heard. That is really bad. And then, verse 11. I read that to you one more time, okay? Samuel, you hear that. Chapter 28, verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guard went into the city. How come some of the guard went into the city? Because the tomb was empty. There's a quick earthquake. They were scared. Jesus wasn't inside the tomb. The guard know that. He just tell the whole truth to the Pharisee. The Pharisee give them some money. Tell them not to tell the truth. Don't tell me that he was resurrected. Just tell me his disciple steal the body. If you get into problem, I will spend money and fix it up. I will bribe the governor, the pilot. Don't worry. Take the money. Okay? While the women on their way, some of the guard went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that has happened. When the chief priest has met the elders and devised a plan, they are the deceiver because they devise a plan, not according to what is truly happened. Okay? And they gave the soldier a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciple came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. Verse 14. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep him. We will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldier took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So I want you to write that down, these two Bible verses. Right beside book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 34. You write down right beside the fact that. You write down Matthew, chapter 27, verse 62 to 66. Chapter 27, verse 62 to 66, that is before Jesus was resurrected. And his body was lying inside the tomb. Outside, there's guard posting. Outside, there's a seal. Seal the stone. No one dared to break the seal. Open the stone. You understand? And then I want you to write down 28, verse 11 to 15. Matthew chapter 28, 11 to 15 is after his resurrection. That's the fact. They are the deceiver. Jesus Christ the truth. Jesus Christ never deceives us. He was resurrected. You understand? So that's why in verse 34, the fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in this word. In what words? In where? It's stated in Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 3, what did the Bible say? I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David. Regarding Jesus' body's resurrection, regarding his body never see decay, it is recorded in both statements, in verse 34 and in verse 35. In verse 35 is Psalm 16, verse 10. You see the footnotes there? Make sure you know how to read the Bible. Daniel, do you know where's the footnotes? Do you see the footnotes there? Did your Bible has that footnotes?
Yeah, in the.
Okay, that's good. Your Bible has the footnotes too? Do you know what I mean by footnotes?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, I show you what's the footnote. Hold, put your finger in here first. Okay, Matthew. Act 13. You see footnotes? You see Isaiah 55, verse 3? You say Psalm 16:1? That's the footnotes. Okay? So you have to learn how to read the Bible. Okay? Now, go back. I want to go to see two Bible verses. Okay, do you remember what the Old Testament say? In order for you to believe the truth, you have to have two witnesses. Regarding Jesus' resurrection, you listen to what David say. Where did David say? In Psalm 16 verse 10, which is Acts chapter 13, 35. So it is stated elsewhere. It is stated elsewhere is in Psalm 16, 10. Acts 13, 35. So it is stated elsewhere. What is stated elsewhere? Jesus' resurrection is stated elsewhere. Stated in Psalm 16, 10. You will not let your Holy One see decay. That's David's testimony. David testified that Jesus Christ's body will not see decay. Okay? So the Holy One, God the Father, will not let His Holy Son, Jesus Christ, see decay. That means His body will not decay. That means on the third day He will be resurrected. And secondly, take a look of Isaiah testimony. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 3, I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David. What kind of blessing that God give to David? It's a holy blessing. It's a sure blessing. What is that? It's Jesus' resurrection, that He will not see decay. You know what? Without Paul explaining in this sermon, we don't even know what this holy blessing, sure blessing God promised to David. What does it mean? He's talking about Jesus' resurrection. So, brother and sister, Daniel, do you remember what I just said before we have studied the Bible? What did I say to you? I say, do you want to save some money from your parents? What did I say?
You told us, you told me to not have a tutor so that we would save money, and that you should start learning on your own so that when you get into university, no one will teach you anything, so that you can get through and you may learn. And also that when you learn the Bible, you do not need anybody else to teach you, and that you can learn on your own.
Start from chapter 1, right? That's how I learned it. I give you a trick. Me. Give me 5. You know what me?
Me.
Secret. I give you the secret too today. You have to study on your own. Save your parents money. You don't need someone to teach you. You don't need a tutor. You have to work hard. Your life has to be changed. Okay? Go. Now go to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah. What did I say? 55? Verse 3. Okay, Isaiah 55, verse 3. He said, give ear and come to me. Hear me, and that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. You know what? When you just read these Bible verses, you don't quite understand what they really mean. And lo and behold, when Paul explained Jesus' resurrection, verse 34, Acts 13, don't leave the Isaiah first, okay? Go back to Acts chapter 13, verse 34. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead and never to decay is stated in this word. In this word is plural. In what verse? In verse 34 and in verse 35. 34 is Isaiah 55 verse 3. That is a holy blessing. It's a sure blessing. That what God promised to David. I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David. What did God promise David? How Jesus Christ resurrected? You will be resurrected. That is a holy and sure blessing. If Jesus Christ is not resurrected from the dead, none of us are resurrected from the dead. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is a sure blessing, a holy blessing promised to David. And secondly, so it is stated elsewhere. So it is stated elsewhere. That means Jesus' resurrection is stated elsewhere in Psalm 16:10. In Psalm 16:10. I go back to verse 9 first. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure. How come his body rests secure? Because his body will not see decay. Okay? Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Your Holy One is not pointing to David. It's pointing to David, son of David, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Psalm 16, at the very beginning, what did they say? Mikham. A Mikham, right? A Mikham of David. Okay? It's a Psalm of David. Okay? It's a Psalm that written by David. And then chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible say, God will not abandon me to the grave. Who is me? He's not talking about David. He's talking about son of David, Jesus Christ. Because you will not abandon Jesus to the grave, nor will you let Jesus Christ, your Holy One, see decay. And that is how Paul explained that. Lo and behold, Paul says, this promise is a holy promise, is a sure promise. It's a holy blessing, is a sure blessing. That's the best. The best kind of blessing. God give it to mankind. If you have time, I would like to encourage you to go back to read chapter 13. The book of Acts. Okay? Now, I want to go back to the book of Hebrew. Today we study about book of Hebrew. Okay? Book of Hebrew, chapter 1. Book of Hebrew, chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angel did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? And this statement, you are my son, today I have become your father, pointed to today means at the time Jesus Christ was resurrected. God said to Jesus, you are my son, today I have become your father. But in Hebrew, he just pointed out what? God the Father has never said to any angel that you are my son. Today, I have become your father. If you remember these Bible verses, chapter 1, verse 5, then you know Job, chapter 1, was translated wrong. I want you to go back. Right before Psalm is Job. Job chapter 1. Unfortunately, those English-speaking Chinese won't understand what I'm trying to say, because the NIV has a better translation. Job chapter 1 verse 6. What did the Chinese translation say? Etta, do you know how to read Chinese?
A little.
Okay, you read that to me in Chinese chapter 1 verse 6. Can you see whether you can read it?
Chapter 1 verse 6.
Yeah, Job.
You got Mandarin or Cantonese?
Cantonese.
Okay. Yaratin Sandik Zhongzi Loi Si Lap Joy Ye Wawa Min Tin.
Okay, so that means what? That means one day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And a lot of people say the angels are the sons of God. Angel is the messenger of God. Angel never called the sons of God. That's wrong. Because Hebrew chapter 1 verse 5, has God ever said to any angel that you are my son, today I become your father? No. That statement, he only pointed to Jesus. Not even David. You understand? According to Psalm 16:10, do you remember? Okay? So it is not the angel. The angel is the angel, is the messenger of God. The angel is not the son of God. Now, if you understand the Job chapter 1 verse 6, then you go back to Genesis chapter 6, then you have a better understanding. So you don't need anyone to teach you. You don't need a commentary to understand the Bible, but you need to read a lot of Bible in order to have a correct translation. Just like what Paul said, you need the Bible to translate the Bible to help you to have a correct translation. Genesis chapter 6, unfortunately, a lot of people misinterpret Genesis chapter 6 too. Genesis chapter 6, what did the Bible say? You read that in English. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 3.
When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years."
And then in verse 4,
the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown.
They become hero of old, men of renown. They say, wow, they're Superman. They're son of God. According to Job, chapter 1, verse 6, must be the angel. Angel have sex with daughter of man. No, they're wrong. Listen to me. I want you to write down in right beside verse 2, the sons of God is Genesis chapter 5, 1 to 32. They are the sons of God. Like Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, all these are sons of God. And who are the daughters of man? Daughter of man is chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 17 all the way to 24. So in Genesis chapter 4, there's one genealogy. Genesis chapter 5 is another genealogy. Chapter 4 is the genealogy of the wicked people. Cain's descendant. They are the daughter of man. Sons of God is Adam, lie, okay? Adam, Seth, they are sons of God. Why? How come there's two genealogy? Because God wants to separate them. In other words, a Christian should not marry a non-Christian. The reason why they separate them, Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5, so that they don't want God don't want them to get married. You understand? But they don't know how. They're beautiful. They're the daughter are beautiful. I just get married. Disobey God. So that's why in Genesis chapter 6, at that time, it was destroyed by flood. You understand? The sons of God are not the angel. They say, wow, how come there's a hero there? Man of renown. They say, must be an angel having sex with a daughter of man. No. First of all, in New Testament, the Bible say, angel never have sex anyway. Okay? God has never said to any angel, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. This statement only say to Jesus. Only say to us. When we are resurrected in the future, God going to say to me, you are my son. Today, I become your father. When I'm resurrected. God never say to angel, you are my son. What did Hebrew chapter 1 verse 14 say? The angel is the ministering spirit. It's a servant. Servant is a servant. Servant is not a son. You understand? Servant can never be a son. Okay? Now I make it clear. Now in Genesis chapter 6, you know how to explain the Bible. Okay? Don't go back to the Job. The commentary using that, saying that, wow, now they give birth to super people, super being. It must be an angel having sex with a woman, right? The daughters of man are the Genesis chapter 4. It's the Cain descendant. They're beautiful one. Okay? Now, go back. Remember what I say? There are four recording regarding you are my son. Today I become your father. It's first recorded by David in Psalm chapter 2 verse 7. And secondly, recorded by Paul in Acts chapter 13 verse 33. Remember that? The third time it appeared in Hebrew chapter 1 verse 5. Chapter 1 verse 5, the emphasis is not on today. The emphasis is on distinguishing between Jesus Christ and the angel. God never say to the angel, you are my son. God only say to Jesus Christ, you are my son. And today is the day of his resurrection. I become your father. You understand? The emphasis is not on today. The emphasis is on God never call the angel, you are my son. God only call his beloved son, Jesus Christ, you are my son. That's the emphasis. But Paul emphasis in his sermon, in Acts chapter 13, verse 33, emphasis on that today. On what day that God call Jesus Christ, you are my son, is on the day of his resurrection. Remember Matthew chapter 3? Not on the day of his baptism. On his baptism, what did God say? This is my son, to whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That's all. No, that's chapter 3. It's not also in the incident of the transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. Remember when it's covered with cloud, they're scared, and then they hear a voice, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased, right? He didn't say, you're my son, today I become your father. Okay? Now, chapter 5, verse 5. Go back to Hebrew. What is the emphasis of chapter 5, verse 5? Because you are my son, today I become your father. This statement only appear one time in Old Testament, that is Psalm 2:7. And three times in the New Testament. One is in Paul preaching. The other two is in Hebrew writing. 1:5, 5:5. You understand? Take a look at that 5:5. Before I read the 5:5, I go and read the 5:4 first. No one take this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was called by God to be the high priest. In the same way, Jesus Christ, so Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God has said to Jesus Christ, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." In here, and then he said in verse 6, God said to his son in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Using two testimonies, using Psalm 2:7, using Psalm 110, verse 4, using verse 5, using verse 6. Now, what is his emphasis in here? Being called. In chapter 5, verse 5, the emphasis, the reason why he used these Bible verses, chapter 2, verse 7, to put it here, his emphasis is, "My son. You are my son." That means Jesus Christ must be called by God that you are my son. At what time? When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, Jesus Christ became the high priest. And then he said, "You are a high priest forever." How come the word forever? Because when Jesus Christ was resurrected, according to Romans chapter 6, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he will not die anymore. He will live forever and ever. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. The dead Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lived, he lives to God. And verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Today I have become your father. That means on the day of his resurrection, Jesus Christ will not die anymore. If Jesus Christ will not die anymore, that means he will be the high priest forever. You know why the earthly high priest cannot be high priest forever? Because he will die. When Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, two things will happen. First thing, 2:7, God say, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." Second thing will happen. You will be called a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You are a priest forever. When he was on earth, God never called Jesus Christ, "You are a priest." But when he was resurrected, God called Jesus Christ, "You are a priest forever." The word forever means he won't die. He can keep on taking that position. He didn't say, "Oh, I want to be a priest." Aaron, chapter 5, verse 4. No one take this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was called by God to be a high priest. Aaron was called by God to be an earthly high priest. Jesus Christ was called by God to be a heavenly high priest. Listen to me carefully. Aaron was an earthly high priest. Not forever, only 40 years. And it's gone. Why? Because he died. He cannot be the high priest forever. Jesus Christ wasn't called a high priest before his death. People just call him what? Son of David. Son of man. Have mercy on me, right? That's how 人子啊，神啊，大卫嘅子孙啊，没有说 he didn't say high priest. No, he didn't claim himself to be a high priest. Nor did he ask people to call me high priest. But God, in Psalm 110, verse 4, when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. At what time did God say to him? After his resurrection. On the day of his resurrection. Do I make myself clear? So the emphasis in chapter 5 verse 5 in the book of Hebrew is you are called my son. You are called a high priest. That means in the Old Testament time, God called the Levi, because Aaron is from the tribe of Levi. Levi is the son of Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. Okay? All the way, when you trace all the way back to Adam, Adam is the son of God. Right? So, in here, when God say to his son, in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, so Christ Jesus also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a heavenly high priest. But God said to Jesus, you are my son, you are a priest forever. Right? You are my son. And then verse 6, and God said in another place, you are a priest forever. First of all, you are my son. Now God using his son, his resurrected son, that he will never die again. I want you to write it down right beside my son. You write down Romans chapter 6 verse 9. Chapter 6 verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. He cannot die again. If he cannot die again, then he can be a priest forever. Okay? Romans 6:9. Because of Romans 6:9, Jesus Christ are a priest forever. Does it make sense? So, thanks God, you know, we have such a good pastor, like the one who write the book of Hebrew. Tell me what? Tell me one thing. Because of 1:5, when I read the commentary, I don't read commentary anymore. When I read the commentary, I see that they are wrong. Because God has never said to any angel, you are son of God. Right? God only said to who? First of all, say to Jesus, then say to God's children. When we, because we are children of God, right? Where does it say? In John chapter 1, verse 12. To those who believe, to those who put their trust in God, trust in Jesus Christ, God give us the what? The power to be called the Son of God. Could someone read that? 1:12. Chapter 1, verse 12.
Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
So we are called children of God when we believe in Jesus Christ. But you know what? When I'm resurrected from the dead in the second coming of Jesus Christ, I'm going to hear God's voice saying to me, John Lamb, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. When he say, today I have become your father, that means I will never die. Now I'm children of God, I still face death and sickness and suffering and all that. No more pain. No more tear. You understand? Now I make myself clear. Samuel, do you understand what Pastor John say? Okay. Okay, go back.
Hebrew.
Chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angel did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? God never say that. Okay? And I want to read that to you. 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirit sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I inherit salvation. I will inherit salvation. Daniel will inherit salvation. That means every Christian has at least one angel serving us. I want you to write beside that. Chapter 1, verse 14. You write down Matthew 18:10. And then read that. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Matthew say about the same thing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10.
See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven.
God sent his angel to look after the children of God. We all have an angel. So you do not look down upon the little one. He may be little, but his angel is not little. His angel is powerful. Okay? So we all have an angel to look after us. Okay? Especially when we are in trouble. Hey, although we have angel looking after us, we don't bow down to angel. We don't serve the angel. Because we are son. Angel is servant. You understand? You say same as if your daddy have a nanny to look after Samuel. Samuel don't bow down to nanny, right? Nanny is looking after you, right? He's a servant. You understand? Okay? Okay, now go back. 1:5. For to which of the angel did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? God never say that to angel. God only say, first of all, to Jesus Christ, and then to who? To us. Okay? God first of all say to Jesus Christ, and then say to us. Verse 6. And again, when God bring his firstborn into the world, he said, "Let all God's angel worship him." Firstborn. I want you to write down right beside firstborn. What does it mean by the firstborn? And again, when God bring his firstborn into the world, what does it mean by the firstborn?
First one to be resurrected.
The first one to be resurrected. I want you to write down Colossians 1:15. Right beside firstborn, you write down Colossians 1:15. And then 18. And I want you to circle the word firstborn. So that every time, you know what? If you have this ink, using that one, red one, okay? Circle the word firstborn. You want it? Here. I tell you why. You circle it in Colossians 1:15, the firstborn. 1:18, the firstborn. Let me read that to you. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He's the head. He's mightier, stronger than anyone. Firstborn, what do you mean by firstborn?
First one to be resurrected.
First one to be resurrected and never die. If you just say first one to be resurrected, it's still wrong, because Nazareth was resurrected before Jesus, because Jesus called Lazarus, Lazarus come out, Lazarus resurrected, but Lazarus will die again. But Jesus Christ, the firstborn. What do you mean firstborn? I want you to circle the word firstborn, circle the word my son. You are my son, today I become your father. Firstborn means he's resurrected, and then God called him, you are my son. That's firstborn son. You understand what I'm trying to say? He's the first one. And he never died. That is what it really means. Okay? Now verse 6. And again, when God bring his firstborn into the world, he say, let all God's angel worship him. All God's angel worship the firstborn. So that's why we never worship angel. Don't ever follow the practice of the Catholic. They worship angel. You understand? Now verse 7. In speaking of the angels, he said, he makes his angel winds, his servant flames of fire. God make his angel winds, his servant flames of fire. In verse 8. So, take a look at the name that God give to angel. It's winds, flames of fire. Right? It's not superior. Take a look at the verse 4. So, Jesus Christ became as much superior to the angel as the name he has inherited is superior to there. What's the name the angel inherit? Winds, flames of fire. But to Jesus, my son, God's son, firstborn. That's superior name, right? Okay. One is servant, one is son. Okay. He make his angel wind his servants flames of fire. Verse 8. But about the Son, he said, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. You know what? I want you to using this red marker. First of all, to mark out in verse 5, my son, and then in verse 6, firstborn, and then in verse 8, the son, in verse 8, oh God. I tell you why. Jehovah Witness and Mormon, they don't believe that Jesus is God. But in here, the book of Hebrew, chapter 1, verse 8, what did God say about his son? But about his son, God said, oh God, God called his son, oh God. And Jehovah Witness saying that they believe in Jehovah, but they don't believe in Jehovah saying. Jehovah, God, Jehovah, saying to his son, oh God. Jesus Christ inherited a superior name, oh God. You understand? My son, oh God, firstborn, right? He inherited this kind of name. I tell you one more thing. In verse 10, God also said to his son in the beginning, O Lord. God the Father called his son, O Lord. And then Jehovah Witness said, oh, Jesus Christ, smaller than angel. What are you talking about? They don't understand Hebrew. You understand? I say that one more time. Chapter 1, verse 4. So Jesus became as much superior to the angel as the name Jesus Christ has inherited. What kind of name Jesus Christ inherited? I want you to write right beside that, the name Jesus inherited, link it to my son, link it to verse 6, firstborn, and link it to verse 8, the son, and link it to, O God. And then link it to what? O Lord. That are superior name Jesus inherit. Jesus Christ did not call himself, oh, I'm God. God the Father called him, O God. God the Father called him, O Lord. God the Father called him, my son. God the Father called him, firstborn. You understand what I'm trying to say? This kind of name, he did not take it on himself. He said, oh, I call myself. Oh, you can call whatever you like, right? But if someone call you, especially God call you, oh God, that means you are God. Because God never lie. Does that make sense? If God call you, oh Lord, that means you are Lord. How dare Mormon and Jehovah Witness say, Jesus is lesser than angel, lesser than God. You understand? They don't understand that. Why they don't understand? Because they don't understand Psalm 82, 6. God even called us God, but we will die. Psalm 82, 6. I said, that means God said, you are what? You are God, but small letter G. Call, who are they? I want you to write beside here, write down John chapter 10, so that you know who they stand for. Sometimes when you look at that, you don't understand, you know, who he's pointing to. John chapter 10. Verse 34 all the way to 36. I read that to you. Jesus answered them, it is not written in your law. Written in your law means written in Psalm 82:6. Isn't it written in your law? That means written in Psalm chapter 86, verse 6. I have said you are God. If he called them God, if God called them God, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken. If God call us God because we receive God's word, God give us his word to us, we study his word, we believe in his word. Okay? If God call us God, that means we are gods. But small letter G. And how dare he say Jesus is less than angel? And less than God, right? Verse 36. What about the one whom the Father has, whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse him of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's son. Do not believe me unless I do my Father does. So, anything that when we read it in the Bible, something that we don't understand, oh, how come God calls God? Then you go and read John chapter 10. The reason why God calls God, because we receive God's word. When you believe God's word, when you obey God's word, you are so powerful. And you're going to live forever and ever. You will have eternal life. When you believe in His word, God's going to call you. You are God's. In my resurrection, at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to call each and every one of us. You are my son. My son means God's son, right? And we will not die anymore. Thanks God for that. Thanks God for giving us the name that is more superior than the name of angel. Like wind, servant, flames of fire. You know what I mean? How do you like people call you wind, serpent, flame of fire? You say, oh, is it honor? Well, yeah, you can burn people. Yeah, no question about that. Flame of fire, you can burn people. You know, wind, you can blow down the house. No question about that. But who caused the wind to blow? God called the wind to blow, you understand? Who's controlling the wind? Who's controlling the flame of fire? Who's controlling the servant? The master, right? So we inherit a name that's more superior than the angel. Don't ever worship angel. You know, when you go to a revelation, and when Apostle John received revelation through the angel, directly from Jesus through the angel, the Apostle John bowed down and worshiped the angel. Angel is scared because if I receive the angel, I will be cut off, you know. He said, don't worship me, I'm God's servant too, together with you, you know. Don't worship me, worship God. Now listen to me. In here, God is a capital letter, God the Father is a capital letter G. And God the Father called His Son, O God, capital letter G, capital letter L, O Lord. Jesus Christ has inherited a superior name than anyone. You got that?
Indeed, here you have small letter God G, but
that means so you want to know what does it mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It means that we receive God's word. You could go back to it. Gospel of John. That's because just looking at that one, you won't understand what it really means. But based upon New Testament, chapter 10, verse 34, then we will understand. Jesus answered them, it is not written in your law, in Psalm chapter 86, verse 6, I have said you are gods, right? And then how did he explain? Verse 35. If he called them God, if God called us God, to whom the word of God came. But you know what? The word of God came to us. But sometimes we reject God's word. We lose the power. So that's why it's more God. But when the word of God came to Jesus, Jesus followed everything. You remember what Jesus said? Gospel of John 14. Gospel of John 14:9. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. 14:9. Did you see that? Gospel of John. Anyone who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. Why? Because Jesus Christ was so filled with the word of God. And he obeyed God's word completely. When people see him, he see God. We have the word of God came to us, but we reject it all. Maybe 99.9% or whatever. You know what I mean? We only have very little. thing there. You understand? When we sin against God, we force off the glory of God. We lost that glory. Does it make sense? But when we see Jesus Christ face to face in His second coming, we become God's son. We obey Him. We are holy at that time.
Once we become holy, then
You're powerful.
Then you're powerful. You become like
God.
Like God, okay.
Because when, listen to me carefully. If the pastor is totally, if he didn't say anything, he only say God's word, that means God is speaking to you. But if he adds something there, try to please you, no, that's not totally God's word. There's some garbage there. Does it make sense? So you have to, in order to understand 82 verse 6, you have to read Gospel of John chapter 10, 34, 35. You have to understand why he called them God. You are God. Because they receive God's word. But you remember that when we receive God's word, sometimes we disobey God's word too. A lot. But when we totally obey God's word, just like Paul, he touched people, people resurrected. Right? Do you see what I mean now? So the more we study God's word, the more we become like Him. Right? What did God use to make us holy? His word. His word is holy scripture, holy word. His words change our life. Right? His words cleanse us. His words transform us. His words give us power. Same as when you pray according to your own word, God won't answer your prayer. But when you pray according to God's promise, God's words, He answers you as if God praying. Right? As if Jesus Christ is praying. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Now go back to Hebrew.
When we read Chinese, it doesn't make the difference. You don't see the smart letter. So it's good for us to have.
We know another language.
Right.
It's good for us for that, right? Uh-huh. So I mean, you don't just rely upon one language because right. one language don't have capital letter G or in Chinese.
Right.
God is God, right?
Right.
You don't see that, but in English you see that. You see a distinguish of that. And also in chapter 10, verse 35, talk about we receive God's word, right? Yeah. God's word give it to us. But how much you obey God's word is how much you reflect God's glory. If you say, oh, you hear God's word and reject them all, as if you're non-Christian. There's no difference between you and non-Christian. But the moment that you receive God's word, obey God's word, oh, you're totally different from non-Christian. Your power, your prayer is powerful. And everything is successful. Okay? Now go back. Hebrew, let me see, what time now? I think we better stop here. Okay, so I will stop at verse 7, okay? Reminded me in verse 8. Okay? Now remember one thing. The name that Jesus has inherited as God's Son, firstborn, the Son, O God, O Lord, all these names are superior than the name of the angel. Like his angel, winds, his servant, flames of fire. What kind of name is that? Of course, it's still powerful, but it's not as powerful as Jesus' name. His name is above all names. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for allowing us and give us the time and give us the wisdom to study your word and understand what you have to say to us. And I pray that you continue to bless each and every one of us. As we study at home, give us the spirit of revelation and spirit of wisdom and knowledge so that we have a better understanding of who you are, so that we won't be deceived by the deceiver, nor do we deceive by the servant of the deceiver, of the evil one. and help us as we study, as we memorize, give us a keen insight, a clear mind, that we have a better understanding who you are. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.